Side Hustle Show 137, how to earn massive free media exposure for your side hustle.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where it's all about ideas, action, and results. And some of my best results in terms of driving new traffic to my websites has come not from social media or guest blogging or even podcasting, but from appearances in traditional media, both online and offline. Now, even if these legacy media providers are losing market share, they're dinosaurs, right? They're going out of business. They still have huge built-in audiences. It can be very beneficial to get quoted for one, the exposure, but also for the credibility it affords. Like, there's a reason I tried to get my painting business written up in the local paper, which didn't happen, by the way, those bums. And it's the same reason I've got the media logos of all these publications on the homepage of Side Hustle Nation. Like, it looks cool, and it's almost like an endorsement, right? Hey, they chose to write about you in their thing, so you must be a legitimate operator, right? Now, my guest today is a former TV producer, a media trainer. He's a PR professional who helps small business owners tell their story by helping journalists tell theirs. Pete Walter runs DealWithTheMedia.com as his home base, and he actually shared with me a completely unique side hustle, and that was he used to be a eulogy writer for hire. And actually, his website for that is still up at eulogywriter.co.uk. if you want to check it out. So there's a business idea for everyone out there. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how to get free media exposure for your side hustle. All the notes and links are at sidehustlenation.com/137. And as is per the usual, I've created a free PDF download document with all the highlights from this episode, along with Pete's top tips for earning free press. So let's roll.
If you haven't signed up to a site called Help a Reporter Out, I think that is a great way to get going. Are you on that, Nick? Do you get those emails at all?
I get those emails, but I get them 3 times a day. And so most of the time I just end up deleting them.
Right.
Because I'm like, I'm busy.
It takes a little time to get into it. I won't lie. But basically, for those that don't know what it is, it's a site at helpareporterout.com, and you can sign up. And as Nick just said, you can get 3 emails a day, all from reporters, mainly based in the United States, but some from outside the United States, from the UK and elsewhere, who are looking to produce articles for a variety of news outlets, ranging from small blogs all the way up to major, major newspapers, and usually have a deadline coming up very soon, and haven't managed to find an expert to comment on the piece that they are writing. So they need someone to fill that gap. And by sort of broadcasting their message out through this email list, they are able to find people. So it's good for 2 reasons. One is the sort of direct reason that you can find a journalist who is looking for the thing that you can provide a quote on. So it's a sort of route one way of getting into the media. But the other good thing about it is that you can sort of see the kind of ways that journalists communicate, the kind of stories that they're looking for, and also the kind of publications that are often posting on Help a Reporter Out that are posting about your niche.
Okay.
So you can sort of start to build up a little Excel spreadsheet, or Word document in my case, because I just can't handle Excel, of the publications that are kind of active in your area. And so when the time comes that you really think that you can, you've got something good to broadcast to the media or broadcast via the media, you can get in touch with that list of publications that you built up. And you can also use that list to kind of extrapolate and do a bit more research to sort of further build up that list. So Harrow, as it's often called, is a great place to start.
Good first place to start. Yeah, I've gotten some citations from Help a Reporter. Probably less so recently, because like I said, I end up deleting most of their emails. It's get a little bit overwhelmed. But, you know, most – so I have gotten – actually been written up like in a book. I think somebody from like Glamour UK contacted me to do an article about, you know, side hustles for women. So some interesting stuff that's come of that. And one of my other favorite things to do is even if I go through this message and, okay, none of these queries fit my expertise – but if they fit somebody else in my network, I love to pass those things along. It's like, hey, press opportunity. You know, I don't know if you already saw this, but you know, thought this would be a good fit for you. And I love it when people send me those too, because like, if I didn't, you know, if I just skimmed through it, I didn't see it. And so that's always kind of cool. And then you can submit your response out. Now, any tips for like getting noticed? Because this email list probably has 150,000 people on it or more.
It's incredibly important to ignore any kind of British tendencies to be polite and indulge in small talk and just go straight into the message straight away. Basically, most of the time, the reporters will say very clearly what they're asking for. They will say, I want two sentences on X and Y, and if you've got, you know, a little story that you can add, that would be great, and you know, your URL and how you would like to be referred to. So just make sure that you absolutely follow those rules and don't indulge in any small talk at the beginning about the weather or about how your weekend was, because I'm sure a busy reporter will get a ton of responses. And it's important that yours grabs their attention within the first microsecond of them opening up the email. And anything other than directly answering what they asked for will almost ensure that they'll be reaching for the delete button.
So just straight to the point, and maybe why they should care, like specifically about you, like why you're qualified to speak on this topic.
Perhaps, but in my experience, for the ones that I've got quoted for, I've just really have directly responded to what they've asked, and that's seemed to work. But perhaps it wouldn't hurt to say if you want to add in your experience, but it's certainly not essential.
Okay. There's a handful of other ones like SourceBottle, and I'm blanking on some of the other like Help a Reporter alternatives that might be less crowded as well. So I'll dig those up, link those up in the show notes. Okay, so Help a Reporter, probably our first line of offense, kind of a proactive way to go about it, or you know, we're getting these queries into our inbox and playing matchmaker with different reporters that are looking for help. What would be your next step in trying to get some exposure?
Well, Twitter is pretty fundamental in any media outreach strategy these days. And the reason why that is that reporters often have it in their contracts these days that they get a certain amount of social shares and that they are judged very much on their social performance.
Oh, really?
So okay. They hang out on Twitter an awful lot, and there's some kind of feeling amongst journalist friends of mine that actually the only people on Twitter are journalists continually looking at other people's work and retweeting their own work under other accounts sometimes to help their social numbers. Mm-hmm. But it basically means that journalists are very proactive on Twitter and are likely to respond to you on Twitter. So if you can go on there and perhaps using some of the brand names that you discovered from Help a Reporter Out or from other sort of sources that you've got, you can start to see again what the particular journalists from the particular media platforms that you want to target are tweeting about, and try and see what they like, what they dislike, and start to engage with them a little bit. So maybe favoriting their articles or retweeting them, or generally trying to be as helpful as possible as you can be to reporters and journalists. They don't have a lot of time in general, and increasingly they have less and less time because there's much more pressure on them these days to produce much more stuff to respond to all the kind of 24/7 media that's going on. And so if you can be as helpful as possible, as nice as possible, treat them like a human being, then they will sort of start to notice you a little bit more, that your name will be popping up on their timeline again and again. And that gives you then an opportunity to pitch them as something of a sort of warmish contact rather than going straight from cold. So they're probably much more likely to take notice of you.
Okay. I remember trying to do something similar when I was releasing my book about treadmill desks. And so I was like, right. You know, made a list of all the journalists who'd written stories in the past year or two about, you know, workplace ergonomics and treadmill desks and standing desks, and I probably did a poor job of, like, you know, building this out like 2 or 3 months in advance of, like, you know, trying to favorite and retweet and do all this stuff.
Yeah.
But during the book launch, I had, you know, a kind of a warm list. Hey, I noticed you've written about treadmill desks in the past. I just wrote a book about the subject, actually, you know, used one of your articles as a citation or, you know, as a source in the book or something like that. You're trying to make some sort of connection that it's not completely cold pitch. But that's also weird because it's like, hey, you just wrote about this like last week, probably not likely to do another article on it, you know, in the near future. What do you think about that?
Well, it sort of depends on the journalist, really, because a lot of journalists work freelance these days, as well as working directly for the same media outlets all the time. Okay. So it may well be that if they've written a successful article on treadmill desks, then they might be thinking, oh, I can sell this as a subject to someone else. But of course, they can't sell the same article because that's already been published in another paper. So to have a sort of new exclusive, they might well need a new source for their article to pitch to a rival outlet or an outlet in another country. So that's not necessarily a problem. But also, it might be a subject that they come back to again sometime later. Of course, many, many media outlets have incredibly long lead times, like magazines, print magazines, usually are looking for things up to 6 months in advance of their actual publication. So just because something's been printed recently doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't written a very long time ago.
Okay.
So that's another reason why it's always worth, you know, pitching to the journalist again.
You think it's worthwhile to do press releases?
I do absolutely think it's worthwhile to do press releases, but I don't think it's worthwhile to do a lot of press releases,
okay.
Which is a big failure of a lot of small businesses or businesses when they're first getting started with media outreach. There's a lot of sites out there that offer you the chance to send press releases out, sort of scattergun kind of style for a certain fee. It's usually about $100 up, I would say. There are some free press release sites, but I definitely wouldn't go there. They're not really been shown to be successful at all.
Yeah, what you pay for there?
Yeah, exactly. But the problem with the sort of scattergun style is that it just goes, the same release goes to every single news outlet, and you have no control over, you know, who's opened it or whether you can follow up with them personally or personalizing the message. And it's such a sort of cliche these days, but it really is worth saying again that, you know, non-personalized approaches in the days of mass email are just so unattractive to most people that your sort of open rates, to use a kind of digital marketing term, will be so low as to be sort of negligible. So it's really, really important to go more down the route of pitching to targets that have been warmed up a bit, and you're pitching through a personalized message. It's important also that you only send something when it's, you think it's really, really worthwhile, because that's the when journalists will start to trust you, because they know that you're not sending them absolutely everything.
Okay. Gotcha. Based on your research, based on your Twitter stalking, based on your helper reporter homework. Now, what makes a compelling pitch?
To have a very, very, very good chance of getting something into the news, it's got to have as many as possible of five elements, and they form an acronym, those five elements, if I can even say it, rather than elephants. So if you've got a few minutes, perhaps I could just run through those 5 points.
Let's do it.
Okay, well, the acronym spells truth, so T-R-U-T-N-H, which going on some people's opinion of what journalists write about is somewhat ironic, but let's go for the first T, which stands for topical. So the story that you're pitching has got to be topical when you're first starting out, especially as a business. It's much, much easier to jump on a media bandwagon that is already rolling than to start one going yourself. What I mean by that is you've got to really have a comment on something that's already going on in the news. So when you see a bigger story that somehow your niche or your business, your side hustle can fit into, and you can be a sort of expert commentator on, that's when you should start pitching journalists, and not before. Let's say you were making jewelry. Obviously, a few years ago, we had the royal wedding, very excitingly, in the UK. There was endless speculation about Kate Middleton's dress, what the ring would be like, what the flowers were like, and all that sort of stuff. And so there was acres and acres of space in newspapers that they had to fill every day for about sort of 3 months running up to this big event on what Kate would be wearing and what the jewelry would be like and what the flowers would be like. And so that is a great opportunity to sort of go in as perhaps a jeweler and say, you know, this is what I would have Kate wear, or this is what most of my clients who are having wedding rings now are asking for. Okay, and this is why it's XYZ. And then you can get a nice little comment and get your sort of foot in the door with the media. The R, in truth, is relevant. And we've already sort of covered that in talking about press releases, in that it's just really, really important to only pitch the media outlets that you think will be really, really interested in what you have to say, and try and speak in the language of that media outlet. So when you're writing your press release, you sort of have to write the story for the journalist in the style of that paper or that blog or even if of that radio station or TV station. So you need to make sure that you sort of engage in that newspaper or blog or TV station or radio station and sort of find out how they talk, whether it's, you know, long, complicated words or short, uncomplicated words, or whether they're very sort of, they go for kind of shock value, or whether they sort of, you know, appeal to more sort of people who like to have more kind of information driven pieces, and try and write in that style, because then that's got a much, much better chance of getting through.
Okay.
The U stands for unusual. It's really, really important to have something in your piece which is unusual. And one easy way of doing that is just to say the opposite of what everybody else in your industry is saying. If there is a media bandwagon already rolling on the weather, for example, you know, a sort of hurricane is coming. If you were able to say, actually, the hurricane isn't coming and this is why, I can guarantee that a journalist somewhere who's covering that story will be interested in talking to you.
Okay.
The second T, in truth, stands for trouble. You will have noticed, I'm sure, that most of the news is about things going wrong than going right. Journalists, as a result, absolutely love trouble. So if your story that you're pitching can contain anything that's sort of mischievous or might cause trouble for someone or something, that is probably going to get a journalist more interested than saying that your product or service is the most fantastic thing since sliced bread. But this doesn't necessarily have to be a bad act on your part. What you can talk about is, especially when you're first starting out and you've got a side hustle style business, is how you might be challenging a bigger brand name in your space. Journalists like writing sort of David against Goliath style stories. So, okay, you know, okay, you're going to sort of, I was talking to someone the other day who uses my website, Deal With The Media, and he was asking about launching a new smartphone. He's a UK smartphone builder. And I was advising him that, you know, you have to frame your business as you're going out to be the person who's going to challenge Apple in the next 5 years. And suddenly, because Apple's always in the news, that's topical. and you're causing trouble for Apple, then that's going to get technology journalists a little bit interested, because suddenly they can see a sort of narrative, a story that they can write. And the final letter, in truth, is H, and that stands for human or human interest. It's very, very important that in every story these days, there's some kind of human interest angle. And this can be you. You can refer to the fact that, you know, maybe if you're starting your business, maybe you were in an accident, and when you were recovering in hospital, for example, that was when you decided to change your life and you started your business on the side. It could be that kind of narrative. Or you can use your clients or the people who are your fans. If you can get some quotes from them talking about your business, saying why it's changed their lives, and talking about sort of real day-to-day things that we can all appreciate and kind of empathize with, then a journalist has the opportunity to start writing a story. And that's why they are called stories, because they want to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and they want to feature real-life characters with real-life emotions, because that's what's going to pull us in as readers or viewers. It's important that you feature as much of that stuff as possible. So you really should try and have at least one or two quotes in every release that you send out to the media. So that's the truth kind of framework. So just to sort of preface that with the actual release that you send, the way that you approach journalists, again, make sure that you keep it nice and brief in your email. Make sure that your headline is incredibly catchy. Try and write maybe sort of 5 to 10 headlines out, experimenting to see if that sort of headline could conceivably feature in that publication. Okay. And make that headline the headline of your email. And then write a very short email saying, summarizing what your story is about, and then paste the copy underneath the email. I wouldn't put it in as an attachment, because sometimes that can trigger spam filters, and if you haven't emailed the journalist before. And then, see what happens. But that seems to be a formula that works best for the people that I've worked with, and also the formula that I employ myself.
Okay, yeah. Do follow the truth, the 5-step plan, and let it fly. So I'm thinking, you know, back to the treadmill desk thing, could have been a couple of different angles. It could have been, you know, on workplace health. It could have been like, hey, this company has saved, you know, $5 million over the course of the last 2 years by implementing treadmill desks in their office. Like, that's kind of an unusual thing, and, you know, it has a human interest. You know, three of their employees lost more than 50 pounds, a human interest thing. It could be, you know, relevant to people writing about workplace ergonomics and workplace health or healthcare in general.
Absolutely. And you know, sort of trouble element could be, you know, the research shows that we're losing 5 years of our lives by having sedentary lifestyles, mainly due to the fact that we sit down all day in mm-hmm. offices. And then sort of take it from there, because that's going to be a kind of negative emotional pull. People read, oh my God, I work in an office. I'm going to lose 5 years of my mm-hmm. life unless I get one of these treadmills. And if you can then make sure that you have some quotes from people who have actually used the treadmills for a few months and said, you know, I feel much better. When I go home, my wife says how much, you know, I've lost a couple of inches off my waistline. And I've got much more energy, you know, all those kind of things that they're real kind of emotional pulls that are going to get an audience reading. And that's what the journalist ultimately is interested in. They're interested in numbers largely, and they're sort of in show business. So you've got to help them get those numbers to their piece by making it as appealing and as emotionally drawing as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say that I pay attention to numbers when people pitch me. Like, I think in your email pitch, it was like, hey, I want to share the 5-step plan to make any story irresistible to me. Okay, that sounds compelling. Tell me more. So let's talk about turning that media attention into a business, because a lot of times, hey, you know, it's a flash in the pan. I was in the New York Times for my shoe business, you know, saw a massive spike one day, probably broke the website. And after that, it was nothing, because these weren't, I mean, it was so broad. It was like, okay, these people aren't necessarily my customers. I wasn't set up to really capture and convert them.
Yeah. I think you've sort of hit the nail on the head in terms of the temporary spike, in that you really need to be making consistent appearances on the media to really, really turn it into something that is going to be viable.
Okay.
Just to sort of get etymological, I'm really glad that I said that correctly, on you for a second. Broadcasting, the word, was originally, when radio was first becoming a big thing, was borrowed from the farming industry and agriculture. And the way that it worked was, and what it meant to broadcast, was to sort of cast your seed widely across your field in order to cover the most ground and sort of find places where your seed could grow.
Okay.
And that was sort of as opposed to narrow casting, which would mean just putting your seeds in places where you already knew it was definitely going to grow and have the best chance of giving you some nice crops. My opinion is that you need to constantly be narrow casting to your fans via email and via social media, but you also need to be broadcasting to people who aren't your fans. And the best way that I know to do that is via the more established media brands and getting notices from them, just as you did through your mention in the New York Times. So how do you keep constantly broadcasting? How do you keep constantly throwing your seed out to a wide area? I think once you've got your foot in the door, that for me is the hardest thing. So getting your mention in the New York Times was the hardest thing in this whole process.
And I should say that came from networking rather than, you know, a cold pitch to a reporter. So
right.
I've been involved in kind of a local, you know, trade organization fighting this affiliate law that they were trying to put in place. And so they were looking for human interest stories on, like, hey, what's the impact of this going to be? And so that's where, you know, we were able to connect.
Great. Well, however you got there, that was a fantastic achievement. But once you have got that first link to the reporter, it's then very important to keep going and keep getting more and more mentions. The easiest way to do that, I would say, is by becoming actually someone who's effective as an expert on broadcast media, so on radio and television. And having got your appearance on the New York Times, it would have been good to find relevant shows that might cover that subject, maybe for even local radio or local television, ideally national, but maybe you have to sort of start local and say, I've had this mentioned in the New York Times. I'm very happy to come and talk to you whenever you need a source or an interviewee for this niche.
Okay. It kind of snowballs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What else do we need to know?
People are interested in finding out a bit more about how to get involved with the media, then I would very much encourage them to go along to dealwiththemedia.com, where we've got some free training that they can access, which will help expand on some of the themes we've talked about today. But I would just encourage people to start building the list of journalists that are interested in their niche. It's the worst thing that's going to happen is that you're going to find out a bit more about what's going on in your sector. And that in itself is incredibly helpful.
Very cool. Yeah, I like that. Pete, thank you so much for joining me on The Side Hustle Show. Everyone check him out, dealwiththemedia.com. And we'll wrap it up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Make sure you broadcast as well as narrowcast.
Sounds good to me. Pete, thanks so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
This edition of The Side Hustle Show is brought to you by Airbnb. Now, if everything goes according to plan, Bryn and I will be chilling in our Istanbul Airbnb when this episode drops, pre-recording this one in an attempt to pack a little bit lighter this time. So Airbnb is just a great way to travel, to feel more like a local, even just for short trips like this one. You get a little bit more space to spread out, and of course, you can save some money over a traditional hotel, too. So if you haven't checked out Airbnb yet, you can get a $25 credit off of your first stay as a Side Hustle Show listener when you sign up through sidehustlenation.com/Airbnb. And that travel credit is actually good for up to 3 years. So claim it now and use it wherever your next trip takes you. That's sidehustlenation.com/Airbnb. So did you get something you could use out of this conversation with Pete? Helpareporter.com, befriend journalists on Twitter. Actually, I joined Haro. I joined Help a Reporter like years ago, almost purely as an SEO play. Because I was like, hey, these people will, you know, submit queries. You can respond back if you're a good fit. And you never know, maybe they'll link to you, right? It was a link building tactic back in the day, much less so today. Much more of a networking tool today, much more of about getting, you know, press exposure today. The press was a side story for, like, you know, wanting to get links back in the day. But other stuff from Pete: hey, don't waste money on press releases. Instead, pitch targeted journalists directly with the truth, stories that are topical, relevant, unusual, troubling, and human. And then, of course, hey, keep the wheel spinning. If this thing works, maybe we can get more exposure, and that keeps the traffic rolling. Hopefully that keeps customers rolling in as well. Now, one thing I should add is to make sure you have a system in place to convert this cold traffic into being more familiar faces, you know, warmer traffic, right? And that could be following you on social media, or even better, joining your email list. Now, last summer, I saw a big spike in traffic from a feature in LearnVest, which is a big site in the personal finance space. And thankfully, during the couple days where that was a big traffic spike, I had the little free SumoMe pop-up firing that day, which you can get, I think, at sumome.com, still free. And it converted like crazy. So very happy to have that. So have a way to convert that cold traffic, you know, from these media mentions into being, you know, leads and customers of yours. So notes, links, highlights, the free highlight reel PDF, all of those things are at sidehustlenation.com/137. Thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, let's go out there, make something happen, and I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.